There's a corner of the internet that functions like an old-fashioned general store where farmers might swap advice on how to fix an ailing tractor. It's a place where you can find a host of highly interactive websites for a growing number of do-it-yourselfers, from those who want to hack cell phones to those who want to make furniture. John Kalish checked out the web's burgeoning DIY scene.
35-year-old Joel Sprayberry is a musician in Dallas, Texas. His kitchen countertops are made from granite he salvaged from discarded billiard tables. When Sprayberry's beloved dachshund became disabled, he got some aluminum tent poles, webbing, and wheels and made a mini chariot to immobilize the dog's rear legs.
It was less than $50 that I spent. And how long would it take to build it? It would probably take 2 hours, maybe. And it didn't really take any special tools other than a drill and some normal tools that you have around the house.
Sprayberry posted his step-by-step building plans on the website Instructables.com. Eric Wilhelm is the site's CEO.
That project on the site gets a continuous stream of comments, people saying things like, "My dog hurt her back last night, and we thought we were going to have to put her down because we just didn't know how to help her recover. And we found this site. We've built this wheelchair, and now we have hope for our dog recovering."
Instructables.com is part of an explosion of online resources for do-it-yourselfers. This how-to hub offers step-by-step instructions with text, photos, and sometimes video for such projects as making boxer shorts out of old pillowcases and building a stool made out of crutches and bike parts. Again, Eric Wilhelm.
In a mass consumer culture where the accepted norm is to go out and buy everything you need and you only use it in the form it comes, it's satisfying to take something and do something that it wasn't intended to make it your own. You sometimes feel like you're getting away with something.
One video on Instructables.com shows how to use a pair of pantyhose in place of a broken fan belt. And it works.
Tim is going to start the car. The belt is actually moving around in there, working admirably. We get the multimeter and we put it on the negative terminal and the positive terminal.
The meter tells us that there's 12.3 volts there.
Another important player in do-it-yourself media is O'Reilly Publishing, which has a quarterly magazine called Make, and the website makezine.com.
I think my favorite project in Make is one of our early ones, and it was a VCR cat feeder. You know, I didn't even need to tell you more than VCR cat feeder. You can imagine that the VCR was taken apart, the motors inside were used, and eventually this thing with the timer to turn on to record was used to feed the cat.
Phil Tyrone is a senior editor at Make. He says one aesthetic that DIYers embrace in a big way is repurposing objects from everyday life, often by modifying them, or modding as it's known in the DIY scene. For this crowd, hacking is done with hardware as well as electronics.
Because of the internet now, you can really get information about anything. So if you just Google anything in your home, there's probably a hack or a mod for it, and there's probably someone who's completely obsessed with it. There's probably someone who has completely taken something apart, completely tweaked it out, made it better.
Once a month, there's a meetup at Make's New York office. The January get-together drew 42-year-old Dave Giancaspro, who showed off a charging station for iPods and video game gear he made out of plastic packaging from his kids' toys. Giancaspro was wearing a T-shirt that said, "I void warranties."
I've been taking stuff apart since I was a kid. I took apart an 8-track player to try to figure out how I could add more speakers to it. Ever since then, I've always been trying to see what's going on inside and what can I make better out of it. And once this movement started, it was like, hooray.
The internet is not only enabling people like Dave Giancaspro to share projects by giving away the knowledge of how to make things. It is also providing a global market for people who want to sell stuff they've made by hand. Tens of thousands of small entrepreneurs do just that at Etsy.com, which reported $26 million in sales last year. Etsy's CEO, Rob Kalin, says those sales came from handmade furniture, jewelry, and clothing. Kalin was in the spacious workroom known as Etsy Labs at the website's Brooklyn headquarters. Etsy was holding its monthly open house for crafters to exchange ideas and instruction.
In 2007, over 50 Etsy sellers made over 30K on the site, and our top seller made over 125K. Our big mission for 2008 is to show that you can make a living making things, and there's a whole world out there for doing something you love.
I think the whole do-it-yourself thing is driven by people being made nervous, by being dependent on organizations that they don't trust or like.
Jay Baldwin is a 75-year-old maverick industrial designer. In the 1970s, he was an editor at the Whole Earth Catalog, a publication that championed the ethic of achieving independence by making things yourself.
What's important about this making stuff is that it's a balance to what I call digeritis, which is having everything virtual and electronic. When you make things by hand, it's yours. There's no mystery how it got made. If you get an idea and you make it yourself, there's something about that that is really good for you.
That feel-good experience is attracting growing numbers of people. One of the recent Makers Fairs, sponsored by Make Magazine, drew more than 40,000 people in Northern California. For NPR News, I'm John Kalish in New York.